Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, He Wants You.
Brilliant. Yeah. So, Carl, off you go.
Well, we're not going to do Freak of the Week here.
Okay.
Right? Because we've done quite a bit of that in the last 20 minutes.
We've right? OD'd on that. Freaks, you think?
Yeah.
Sure.
We'll just shift it a little bit.
Okay.
And I don't, like I keep saying, don't want people to be thinking we're sort of taking the mick out of anyone.
No.
Right? Because we're not about that. I feel that, like I can do a little bit of it because I work with you, Steve.
Yeah. Right? Sure.
It gives yeah. me that right.
It's like a care worker. Yeah, I understand.
Well, it's like that thing of you can't be homophobic because I've got a couple of gay mates and
sure,
stuff.
Sure.
It, I think it sort of gives me that edge.
Yeah.
Right? So
you're not freakophobic because you work with Steve?
No, that's right, yeah. So, yeah.
Okay.
Well, by that token, I should be able to sort of slag off, you know, the mentally ill.
What's
or at least mentally handicapped.
Now, there's a term you don't hear very often. In 2003, there was the mentally handicapped.
Isn't that what
oh,
it was?
I don't know where to start.
But
I'd like to apologise for the Lady Diana stuff, the term mentally handicapped, and any inadvertent racism that we may have still
What's over. The actual term then? Is it retarded?
Right.
Right, come on now. But yeah, that's all I was thinking with the Freak of the Week this week. That's what I'm saying about Freak of the Week. It's to get people thinking, right? Thinking how lucky they are that, you know, they don't have to
comb their face. What are you talking about? What do you mean Freak of the Week is to let people know how lucky they are?
Just
what about the little freak you're talking about? What are they thinking? They're going, oh, he's talking about me. I'm a little hairy lizard man on a stick.
Pop in, give us a call. I thought, you know, that's what I'd like to do on a TV programme. That's what I want to do. I want to go and, like, meet these people and say, right, let's just go shopping. Let's, you know, we'll film what your normal day's like.
Yeah.
Let's pop out. Nip into Sainsbury's or whatever.
Yeah.
And buy a comb.
Park right up close to it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So what you're saying is you just want to get a little message out there, which is that there's always someone worse off than you.
Well, there's proof of that in this room.
Oh, Carl, when's your train?
In a minute, I'm gonna get going now. I'll see you later.
Thanks, Carl.
Brilliant. Right. What are you planning to play a song?
Kirsten McCall.
Yeah.
I'll see you later.
Well, there's the darkness. They believe in a thing called love. Carl, do you? This is XFM 104.9. That is my favourite band at the moment.
You love them?
I absolutely love them. I think they're funny. I think they're straight down the line with a little bit of tongue-in-cheek.
Mm.
Oh, brilliant. See them on Jules Holland last night?
I didn't, sadly, no.
Brilliant.
Were they good?
Yeah, absolutely. Jumped. Oh, I mean, Jules didn't know what to do.
was he playing some boogie-woogie?
They wouldn't let him play boogie-woogie over their song. That's what I mean, that's why he stayed back. But
I can't imagine it was very good, though.
He shook the...
I'm surprised you say they were good.
I thought, hold on, this is missing something.
Yeah.
This is missing someone from Squeeze vamping over them.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
they did well without him.
Extraordinary.
Yeah. Well, here we are, then. We're back. XFM 104.9. Carl had to leave early last week, but can you stay to the end this week, mate? Or
yeah.
Yeah,
you don't need another holiday.
Oh, he's started already.
I mean, you
Steve's
know,
made you look like a bit of a twat already, and it's only 1:05.
But the only reason you don't go on holiday is because you have to spend money.
Oh, and he's come straight back. Well, he's gone straight.
I can't come back to that.
Oh,
it's just dynamite. It's just absolute. That was searing.
Last holiday Steve had, he sort of found a third world country so he could live like a king for a week. It was Cuba, wasn't it?
Going to Cuba, amazing. We can almost rule the place. If it weren't for Castro, I'd have been in charge. Kind of cash I was flashing around. They'd do anything for a dollar over there. It's extraordinary, literally. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. Oh.
Definitely, and I went to Kenya before that.
So he thought, the prostitute said no.
Mm.
You were going...
Yeah, well, it was $2. I mean, I'm not made of money.
Did you have a good holiday, Carl?
Yeah, it was all right. It's all right. Went down to Cornwall.
Now, you're going to the monkey
sanctuary. People down there, Steve.
Well, don't look at me. I'm not from Cornwall.
Well, you're from that sort of area.
Well, not really, but never
mind. Genetically, means.
Right.
They're weird.
Mm. Well, you must have slotted right in.
Why are they weird? What do they look like?
Just all sort of odd people. A lot of old people, but not just old, sort of messed up old.
What do you mean, messed up old? You can't just say that.
There was a woman with a funny neck.
Okay, in what way was it funny?
Why did she have a funny neck? If you were writing an essay, you wouldn't say there was this woman with a funny neck. How would you describe it?
she sort of had her head like pointed down all the time. Like,
don't do it. It's his radio.
No, but just for you, I don't know. Like, yeah. About,
yeah. Okay. Right. So brilliant.
I don't know. I was saying to Suzanne, what happened? You know, what do you think?
Because Suzanne knows everything. That's the good thing about her being with you. You just ask her what happened to her, and Suzanne goes, "Carl, I don't know. Yeah. I haven't been here before."
Suzanne, your girlfriend, or mummy, as you call her.
Oh, sparks are flying.
Yeah. Flicking through, because there's always interesting stuff in there. There was something about swingers.
Right.
I was like, what's all that about?
Yeah.
And I had an interview with some people talking about, you know, how they sleep about a bit.
Yeah.
And I thought, if my wife looked like that, I probably would. Because there was a few pictures of them, and they were all pretty ugly.
Yes.
I thought, right. So I took that in, soaked that up, thought, there you go. Carried on reading. There was a bit in there about how women still have crushes, right?
Yes.
And the woman was going on about how she's 38, right? But she still fancies Chris Martin from Coldplay.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, even though it'll never happen, she's still got that little bit in her head that thinks one day she'll leave Gwyneth, right, and end up with her, right?
Right.
Anyway, so I'm thinking this is a bit boring, but I'm flicking through it all, and,
Is this a Rockbusters clue?
No. Right. And I read further on, right, and, she said, you know, I like to go out with my mates, and we come up with lists in pubs of people who, like, oh, you know, they'd be nice to go out with. She also came up with a list of unlikely lust objects, I think she called them.
Yeah.
Guess who was in that list?
Ricky Gervais.
Think again.
Carl Pilkington.
Right. Next one.
Johnny Vegas.
Said, lanky co-writer.
Rubbish.
Lanky co-writer.
What do you mean, lanky co-writer?
Well, don't need to say anymore. He said,
hang on, wait a minute. Let's not talk about. I don't want you laughing at my expense. I'm an unlikely lust object.
Yeah,
but what was it called? The list.
The unlikely lust object.
Yes.
Yeah. You were in there. Right?
Who else was?
Well, you weren't in there.
Richard Madeley.
Fine.
Yeah.
He's a good-looking guy.
Alistair Campbell.
Brilliant. Yeah. Another handsome dude.
Mm.
What are you talking about? You think I'm ashamed or embarrassed about that? I'm proud of it. What magazine was it? I need to buy a couple of copies.
Yeah, it was.
Need to get a t-shirt made.
And did she leave her number?
Yeah. What magazine was it? I was just out of interest.
I think it's called Red.
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah.
But now you've dissed those people that are putting themselves in there as swingers because you've said they're ugly. So now we know what magazine it is. People are going to look at that. People are going to look at that poor woman and they're going to know you think she's a hog.
No, but I think they even know.
Was there a picture of the woman who had drawn up the list of unlikely lust objects?
Mm-hmm.
What was she like?
I wouldn't waste my time.
No, thanks, mate. I know you're on my side.
The Thrills on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Steve Merchant, object of unlikely lust object. Steve Merchant.
I'd like to have that now, prefixing my name everywhere I'm written about.
Although, yeah. Did he make the freak list?
Woo!
Which is a different magazine, isn't it? And I'm joking, of course, Carl Pilkington. A man of sort of quiet dignity and, and in a way, he's got his own sort of inner beauty, hasn't he, Carl?
Not really.
Don't you think?
Well, I'll tell you why I don't think it is, because the woman that wrote the piece, saying that I was an unlikely lust object, has just emailed in. And Carl, you've offended her quite considerably.
What did he say?
Why?
I wouldn't waste my time, is what you said. She's repeated that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't waste my time, the flaming cheek. Although it's a horrible picture, I am, of course, in real life, a vision of loveliness. I'm not 38, I'm 25. I don't think Stephen's that unlikely lust object. A sense of humour is important, and he's welcome to my phone number if he wants it.
A sense of humour is important, that's a downer.
Is she a swinger?
Stop it!
Don't have a go at the woman,
I'm messing about. She knows I'm messing about.
Well, how are you messing about?
I've told you that anyone could be listening, haven't I? I've told you that before, things you say. But we encourage him. We say, what does she look like? But it's meant to be rhetorical. That was a joke. That was Steve's joke. What does she look like? I.e. him joking, like, oh, I'll call her up because I'm on a list. And then you have to say that. I mean, that's what I mean. So chances are,
if, you know, if she likes Stephen, she hasn't seen him, she listens to the radio. So, the likelihood is that, you know, she was listening to this show.
Yeah.
So, think.
Will I drop the thing I was going to do about Lisa Riley? Well,
she's not listening.
Some people deserve it.
She's still at lunch.
What, from Tuesday? There's an all-you-can-eat place going out of business as we speak.
Oh, bloody hell, she's back. You killed me. I got a new bambino. Please leave now. Please leave. So,
no, but she knows was only messing. This,
yeah, everyone knows you're only messing. We're all only messing. I hope we don't offend anyone of, you know, any kind out there. We're only joking, aren't we, Carl? Yeah. Say something nice about her.
What can you remember of the picture that you could say was good? Maybe she was wearing some nice clothes.
Wasn't anything, to be honest. I'll have another look and have a look. I think she had a nice shirt, honestly.
Well, there's the best band in Britain, in my opinion.
Big words.
The Darkness, Growing on Me, on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais with me, Steve Merchant, and Carl Pilkington.
Have you got the album?
And already, they've had an argument.
Yes. Well, I mean, I don't know whether we need to cheapen the show by discussing it, but I asked for a particular track. Carl is the producer, and he failed to get it for me. He's failed to bring it up from the record library. Completely failed in his mission. He needed to get two records, and he failed to get one of them. A 50% error rate there.
Yeah, but like I said, I looked in the system. It told me what album it's on. I brought that album up. I'm busy.
But, okay, so fine. Fine, you're absolutely fine then. That's no problem. You know, that's a great excuse, Carl. Brilliant. The show has been ruined. It's been partially ruined, but you've got a bit of an excuse.
All right. I didn't make a big deal out of it when you said, oh, and whilst you're down there, get us a new 50 Cent single.
I never said, why are you down there, get the new 50 Cent single? I asked you if 50 Cent single was lying around. Yeah. If it hadn't been here, I wouldn't have worried.
So I get it, yeah. I did that for you.
Right.
And then I come up, you say, has it got swearing in it? Well, I don't know. It's 5-1, Steve.
You're the
I haven't
producer.
Got time. I've been whizzing
you're the
around.
Producer. It's the brand new single. I'd have thought it'd been lying around in the XFM office anyway.
But I don't have time to sit around listening to music.
Sure. Well, yeah.
Right? I know that you have. Now you've got an iPod that can hold 7,500 songs. I don't know when you're going to get around to loading all them on, but I haven't got the time.
Sure.
Busy.
Yeah. Fine, right. Okay. No, that's a perfect excuse, Carl. Well done, mate. Right. I just hope that I never have to depend on you in a real emergency.
I had a bit of bad luck as well. I wanted to play REM, and maybe the listener can help me here. Can you email in ricky.gervais@xfm.co.uk if you know what song I'm thinking of? It's an REM song. I think it's on the album of the last one going before. And he says, Mulholland Drive and I'm Steve McQueen. That's all I know. I'm sorry. I can't think of the title. I need the title to look it up, if you know what I mean. I can't put in like that. I can't put in Mulholland Drive. This is because what are you talking about? So I need the actual title of the song to look it up to find it down in the library.
Oh, well, I'd go down yourself if you're going to go down to the library and get that. I wouldn't send Carl, because...
ricky.gervais@xfm.co.uk.
But if he wanted to, he did have time, because he came in at 12:20 rather than 12:05.
Yeah. So. No, I told you about that record that I wanted it yesterday, didn't I? So you had 24 hours notice. So that's not really an excuse, is it?
But I did find one of my favourite songs of all time, which is Bones, off the Bends album, and it's Radiohead on XFM 104.9.
And here it is, because you gave me lots of time to find it.
Sure. Yeah. Could have brought it in myself.
No swearing in it.
Oh, proper rock band. Best band since Thin Lizzy. The Darkness.
Well, it's big words.
Growing on Me. XFM 104.9.
A bit rash, I think.
R. Gervais, S. Merchant, K. Pilkington. With a little bit of that. I know for a fact, that Steve is getting a little bit sick of Carl's attitude.
Oh, his attitude's appalling.
I quite like it though, because it's a straight away friction and he's sort of like, you know.
To be fair, I genuinely don't think I'm the culprit in this. I think I come in and I just ask him a simple request.
Yeah.
And immediately on my back. Whinging, moaning, whining. I mean, I don't know if there's any evidence.
Well, it's funny you say that, actually, because in a survey, it came out this week. It's quite extensive. Mancunians take more sick days than anyone else. Mancunians take more sick days than workers in any other city in Britain and Ireland, according to Manchester-based employment firm. Survey by Peninsula found employees in Manchester take 11 sick days per year, whereas closest rivals Edinburgh and Dublin take an average of 9. Liverpool, Newcastle, Birmingham, Cardiff, only 8.
Is Reading mentioned there?
No, it's not even in there. They don't take days off. London is only 7. So the point is, I mean, I don't know if you can take anything from it, but if you're an employer and you had a Mancunian and a Liverpudlian and they were equal on everything else, but you really couldn't afford them to be away, Liverpudlian's going to probably be away for 8 days.
Sure. Mm.
The Manx's going to be away for 11, phoning in sick. And
you know, so what can you, I mean, just analysing the data there, what would you extrapolate from that?
I really don't know. I mean, call in if you've got any clues, or email us in if you've got any. I don't know why they. I think maybe. I don't know. Mancunians.
I don't really know many people from Manchester.
Well, I only know one, but I know he was off sick because he put on wet trousers and he got
a cold, I think.
Yeah. Well, he just said he was. Yeah. Didn't come in for.
Yeah.
He left early as well once.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, that's the survey. I don't know. I mean, it's evidence because it's statistics. So. There you go.
It's guaranteed evidence for that.
So,
proof.
Any thoughts on that? Ricky.Gervais at xfm.co.uk.
I mean, you're from, oddly enough, you're from Manchester,
Carl. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
On what? Sorry?
No, on the survey.
Wasn't really listening.
Sure.
Well, Mancunians take off more sick days. They call in sick. I mean, presumably spuriously.
Yeah.
I mean, because they've got the same body. They're biologically the same, so.
They're obviously making up their life.
Yeah, some of the days. Maybe there's just the three extra they're making up.
Yeah, they're moaning.
Probably because we work a lot harder than the others, so we're tired, so you're sick, so you need time off. Probably.
Seems unlikely.
I mean, the scouters, to be honest, yeah, take them on, let them work in your office. But you know, how many computers are going to go missing?
Right, that.
So offensive.
Is offensive. Right. This is a survey that proved you just made that up. You just carried on the myth that Liverpudlians thieve. Mm. Now that's not true. That is not true.
Well,
it's not.
Well, some of them do.
There's been no survey that you're more likely to thieve if you're from Liverpool than if you're in Manchester. So that hasn't been proven yet. So all I've got is the evidence from a survey of I think 3,500 people. Yeah. It's proof that people, Mancunians, take off more sick days. XFM 104.9. This is April Come She Will by Simon and Garfunkel. Simon and Garfunkel, April Come She Will. A lovely, lovely love song there. The X List was all about sort of like sexy songs because of death of Barry White, of course. And Carl and Steve having a little argument. Steve said, well, there are such a thing as sexy songs, of course. Carl said, I can't understand it. No. I can't understand it. How can something be sexy? How can you warm them with a song? Steve went, well, you don't warm with it, you just put it on in the background. Carl said, stick the telly on.
Stick the telly on.
I love that. Jane's Addiction, Just Because on XFM 104.9, broadcasting from London, where people prefer to only be off sick when they actually are ill.
Sure.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever taken a day off sick. Mm. Except when I had that terrible, terrible, terrible tonsillitis.
Is that when you went home, stayed with your mum and dad?
Yeah. Why is that a problem? Where's back to health?
No, I'm not saying it's a problem.
Back to health. Yeah, I've got loving family. So sue me. What do you make of that?
The antagonism and piss taking is just like, oh God, three blokes in a pub. If there's people listening, I can't get
from Are there? Carl, what do you make of London? Because you often say you'd much rather be up north.
Well, he wouldn't, or he'd go.
Well, this is what he constantly says.
You've chosen to live here. You've lived here for years. You've got a flat here.
No.
No.
I chose to come here because I was offered a job that was good money.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have come here if there was no job.
So you prefer to be somewhere where there's a good job, so you've chosen to live here.
I don't like being here, though.
What? No, but you can leave.
To what?
Well, exactly! So you've chosen to stay somewhere that's better for you.
It's not better for me.
Well,
it's making me ill. I'm not sleeping.
Well, so you say you're ill. You call in ill, but I don't think you are. But I mean,
are there any stats to prove that?
Well, yeah, because you know, of the 11 days that he calls in sick, I reckon probably 7 of them are genuine.
I'd love it if I dropped down dead tonight. Honestly, I'd love it.
If you drop down dead tonight, you'd love it. Why aren't you sleeping?
What, you're feeling ill now, are you?
That's funny.
You weren't feeling ill earlier, but you read that and you're suddenly ill.
I'm run down.
Oh, you should take holiday. Oh, yeah, you've just had about 8 in the last 6 months.
Oh, God!
Why are you run down?
Yeah, what have you done? You sit in a little air-conditioned office.
I've got time to tell you. Let's move on. Let's get on with stuff. What have we got anyway? Because we didn't have a chance to meet up this week. Me and Ricky could have done, but You said you were busy, Steve.
Yeah,
so
was,
that's probably
was.
Why you don't get run down. But yeah. Finishing work at about 4 o'clock.
No, I could have had the meeting, but we gave you a time. And you suddenly decided, with very little notice, that you couldn't make it. So
make it meetings and that.
Oh, yeah.
So what have we got? What have we got? It's 1:20. What have we got? We're on till 3.
Well, we've been talking. We've been doing well. We've been playing some great rock and roll. We've been playing some lovely songs. We've told them. We've explained a survey just for employees. Be careful.
Yeah.
We've put that out there. We put a shout out there. People know.
Would you say it was probably safest if you are an employer to never employ Mancunians?
Well, I wouldn't go that far because you see that's only an average. So I imagine some Mancunians, like Londoners, are nice, reliable people. It's probably just a few bad eggs that throw the stats up
sure.
a little bit. People that would go, I'm not coming in today. I'll put on some wet trousers.
Sure.
All right, stay in bed.
Yeah.
Stay in bed.
Yeah.
You still got them on? Yeah. Well, pop them off.
Yeah.
Put them on the radiator and go to bed with a little duvet. That'd be the best thing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right, Carl?
Right.
What's your attitude? Is it because you're tired?
Yeah.
Well, why are you tired, though?
You weren't saying that watching those Channel 5 films again, were you?
I'll tell you what, me and Steve were having a little meeting yesterday over lunch about, planning stuff for the show, and Gary Kemp came up to me, started having a little chat about old times, and I went, oh, yeah. As he went away, Steve said, right, think of this, he said, Rick, don't take this the wrong way. Remember that sentence, don't take this the wrong way. So there's a right way and a wrong way I could have taken this comment. He went, nodded to sort of Gary Kemp and went, he's aged better than you. I went, well, how could I take that the wrong way?
Yeah, it's not offensive.
No. Well, the point is this, he didn't know me 20 years ago, so he's actually saying, Rick, don't take this the wrong way, he looks better than you do.
Yeah, well, he does.
But why say that, Carl?
What? Did you really say that?
Yeah, although, can I just go, just backtracking for a second? I love the fact you said you bumped into Gary Kemp and you reminisced about old times. What old times did you share with Gary Kemp?
Well, no, he came up and said, did we drop the pops together? And I went, no, I did Razzmatazz. I said, oh, we did Razzmatazz. I think he was thinking, had he ever met me before? But he hadn't, because we hadn't. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
but if you had to make an objective analysis,
I wouldn't. I think that's out of order.
Sure, sure. I mean, you're always slagging me off, but apparently you can't make a value judgment on something else. Well, because you're morally all over the place. You don't know where you're coming or going.
Believe it.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. You should hear what I say about you behind your back.
So, are you? Would you say you're better looking now than you were, or
than I'm what?
Would you say you're better looking now than you were
than I was when?
Well, have you aged well?
Yes.
You've aged well.
Yeah, I've kept my looks.
Bit of Dando?
Bit of Evan Dando, this would be lovely, yeah.
Tupac. I'll tell you what, we should get rolling. Rockbusters.
No.
All right?
No.
Well, he has done it. He just said that he was worried about it because we said it's the last one. What do you think, Carl?
I just don't think I mean, can I just say now, Carl, seriously, I'm only responding to what we're getting on the email, which is people do not want Rockbusters.
Uh-huh.
They really. There's one guy here who is, he says, it's James Pooley. He says he's preempted Carl by giving my answers to this week's quiz. I don't know what the clue would be, but his answer is no Van Ear. Nirvana.
Yeah, good. Nirvana, yeah. That'll be sounds like one.
Number two, he's just guessed. He's probably, I don't know again what the clue would be, but the answer is Kid Creosote.
Yeah, that's good. That's a typical one. That is brilliant. That's a better game.
And the last one is Harry Seacum.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good.
So, I mean, maybe we should reverse it so people
and we have to come up with a clue for them.
And we
win the prizes.
Yeah.
So have you got prizes ready as well?
It's all there, but...
Oh, I feel sorry for him now. We what the prizes would have been.
I'd rather just give them away to the first person to email in, frankly, than have to go through the torment of Rockbusters.
Oh, God! Look at Carl's face! I wish you could... Oh, can't we get this on telly just for Carl's face? Hey, I'll tell you what we could do, Steve.
Uh-huh.
You know, like Smiley Miley, and that used to take the Radio 1 Roadshow out?
Oh, man, that would be amazing.
Come on. Should we take it out?
Hello, Bournemouth!
Yeah, how many miles have I done? Don't care.
No,
should we do this? How many miles have we done? Well, XFM's down the road.
Yeah.
One. Yeah. Should we take it out the road just so they can see Carl Pilkington?
To be fair, though, I mean, you're not really keen to leave W1, are you?
Well, we wouldn't.
Right. So where exactly would we take the roadshow?
We'd do it outside.
Outside the building?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And what would
we
do?
It's called a roadshow because it's in the road, I imagine, isn't it?
And we'd give away T-shirts?
Throwing T-shirts, and then we'd have a band.
Hat.
We'd have band playing. What was that band playing tonight?
I forget, something diesel, was it?
Yeah.
See, instantly forgettable. I mean, that was my point, really.
we could have them on.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Get a couple of celebrity pals down.
Someone from, Big Brother 2.
That would be ideal.
Well, Josh, that other, the other little gay fella.
Yeah.
He'd come on, just wave.
Yeah. I'm beginning to like the idea.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah.
So we'll have Josh, something diesel, we're playing the Bull and Gates now, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Right, I'll throw out some t-shirts.
Yeah.
And then, Carl will do a live Rockbusters. Yeah?
Well, I don't know. Do you want it?
I just think that ruins it slightly. It would just bring the whole afternoon down, Rick, I think.
We'd get it sponsored by someone. Yeah? No? Well, I'm just trying to inject a bit of... Read the prizes, what they would have done.
There's a PlayStation game here. I guess it's maybe not been released yet. It's a little demo of that. What's this? The American Song Poem Anthology. I don't exactly know what that is again, but lots of songs on there and a couple of compilations, arbitrary compilations, the Club Anthems compilation, the best summer holiday album ever.
Wow. Well, you've certainly sold it to me, Steve.
The best air guitar album again.
Brilliant.
And an old edition of Only Fools and Horses.
So, you really haven't put the effort into the prizes, Carl. So if that's the prizes, if that's the whole point of the competition, and they're the best prizes you could conjure up. In God's name, how bad are the clues this week? That's why he doesn't want you to do it, Carl.
Oh, we won't bother. Forget it. Doesn't matter.
Good. Excellent. Well, that's resolved.
Brilliant.
That's excellent. What we have got, though, is Educating Ricky, haven't we?
Well, another one of my little things.
Oh, it's brilliant, then.
So how long's this going to last before you want to get ditched this?
Well, we'll see. A couple of weeks.
Not like that, Carl. It's all one. It's all it's one love, man.
We're on the same team, mate.
Yeah, we're just one voice, man. One true voice. Like those lads.
Yeah.
They could play.
Right, well, the Educating Ricky,
they
right?
could play.
Well, why don't we play a record and come back with Educating Ricky?
The Wind, Cat Stevens,
we need to get the jingle queued up as well.
Yeah, I'll get the jingle queued up.
No,
yeah.
I haven't got Neil Young lined up yet.
No, not Neil Young, Cat Stevens. I gave it to you.
No, we're not playing that yet.
Can we just play a record?
No, I told you to. See, so why aren't you playing the record I told you to play?
Because we've just had something chilled, right, from Tupac. Let's lift it up a bit now with a little bit of blur. Right?
Come on, play it.
Oh, I'm not sure. I just have. Crazy beat blur on XFM 104.9. Right, we're gonna do Educating Ricky instead of Rockbusters.
Incidentally, on the subject of Rockbusters, we've just had an email from Phil. He says, I could do with this week's rather shoddy array of prizes, as I'm doing a car boot sale tomorrow and need a bit more tact to fill the table.
We might as well do it anyway.
Yeah.
But Educating Ricky, it was a feature. Well, actually, about a year ago, I started a feature called Educating Carl because we found out he had one E at O level at history. I'd educate him on things like Rasputin, things that I thought he'd be interested in, you know, Winston Churchill, some of the greats, some scientific facts. And then I said, it's your turn. And he started telling me about people born without legs. Some people have got a funny eye. There's a woman whose tongue's longer than her arm. And really, you know, turning the screw on education. Yeah. So I don't know what he's got for me today. Maybe a dog born a cat. Let's have a look.
We've done that.
There's sometimes a crossover between Educating Ricky and Cheeky Freak of the Week, yeah. Just in terms of subject matter.
Yeah, so we've done Cheeky Freak of the Week. We've done all the freaks. What have we done with the Freak of the Week? There's a, what was it, a dog? There was a woman that had the back legs of a dog. There was, last week, there was, what was last week?
It was the, it was a girl who was born with four eyes, two males and three legs.
Sure.
You weren't that impressed. I thought, if we've got to that and it's not impressing you.
We are a tough audience,
I admit. Let's move on.
50 Cent, Indie Club on XFM 104.9. So, Carl's a little bit fed up today, actually whinging, I mean properly whinging, fed up, reckons he's tired, reckons he's overworked here, but, do you know what I mean, Carl? Everyone gets tired. Everyone does the same sort of hours to you. What do you do, sort of 9 till 6, 7?
About 9 till 7, 8.
Well, no, because a couple of times this week I've sort of met you for a drink about 6, so, it's funny, isn't it? That's weird.
Some of the times I've come back after it, just for another 40 minutes or something whilst no one's around, try and get stuff done without phones going, without emails coming in.
Yeah, we've got to do
it. Can I tell you what I think is a disappointment?
You're in the department, you've got
to
do it.
I just think it's a disappointment that Carl hasn't been able to put that aside and rise to the occasion. He's only got to do this show once a week.
I know.
I mean, you and I, we're tired, we've
got, you've got one job, we've got about six.
And we're still doing it. Do you know what I mean? We still do it. We still.
Well, you're a professional, Rick. I mean, that's why you've won multiple awards. Is because you're willing to go up there, even if you're feeling a little bit under the weather, even if you hurt yourself, or you've got an injury of some kind. You're up there. You're doing it.
Yeah.
You're entertaining. You're providing a service.
Yeah. So
it's a disappointment.
Yeah, but I've pressed all the right buttons at the right time.
Indeed.
Right. That's what I get paid for. Yeah. Done that. The adverts have gone out.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? I've made your cups of tea.
It's the negativity which is a problem. It's the vibe. You're bringing
us down. Bringing us down.
And therefore the listeners.
Therefore the listeners, bringing us down. If you don't like London, you know what to do. Mm. Well,
oh, I'm trying to get out of here, aren't I?
We just bought a new flat. That's not the best way.
Buy a flat in Manchester, live there.
Doesn't matter, I can always rent it out and make a little bit of money.
Why don't you sell the flat in London and buy a street in Manchester?
Pilkington Avenue. Really, you could literally have the lord, the king of that street. people could come to you like Solomon with their problems.
He's come up from London. He's got London ways. Okay, let's have a great show, everyone.
Oh, yeah, good luck.
Good luck. Right, that was Jane's Addiction, Just Because, on XFM 104.9. Right, everybody up, let's give them a great show, 2 hours of, like, fun chat. Let's keep it, you know, let's keep it cutting edge. Let's not be too, I mean, that's what the listeners of XFM would, oh, no, it isn't, is it? No, because, hold on, wait a minute, because we came in yesterday and did this little skit, didn't we, where we bleeped it out.
A little sketch, it was quite annoying, it was quite controversial.
And then Carl called me last night and we're not allowed to play it out.
Oh, it's, we've been censored?
Yeah.
Interesting. So it's a cutting edge alternative station, wants to push the boundaries, wants to be thought of as a bit punk, a bit punk rock.
Yeah, because I said something about the Radio Authority. I bleeped it out, what I called them.
Yeah.
But couldn't do it. Done it before.
Censored.
Couldn't do it.
Censored.
Carl agrees though. What's your thoughts, Carl? You agree with that?
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
Why?
Well, what's the point?
Well, it was funny, wasn't it? And it wasn't offensive.
Not really. It's not some of the best stuff that would have ever gone out on this show, but, you know.
Right, what are you putting up against, exactly? Cheeky Freak of the Week?
Well, that springs to mind.
Yeah.
Rockbusters?
But, I mean, the thing is, you know, the things that you have put out there, I mean, we better be really careful. Who's worried about complaints? I mean, it's not just swearing, is it? It's taste and decency and everything.
Yeah.
So, we can't laugh about the disabled anymore in the Cheeky Freak of the Week. Can't do stories about elderly relatives with genitals looking like a split tennis ball. Can't do your dad putting a child with learning difficulties in a bin. So, what, should we just play music?
I think that's all it's gonna have to be,
Play record. Accidents Will Happen by Elvis Costello on XFM 104.9. Carl's a little bit stressed, but it's not his fault. It was the boss that overruled him. He came along. What did he do? He heard you listening to it.
Yeah.
What did he say?
He says, what's that? I said, it's what Ricky wants to play out tomorrow.
Yeah.
And he said, well, can't go out like that. Too many.
But they're all bleeped. We bleeped the swear words.
Yeah, but he didn't want it to go out. I mean, you've got to remember, right, you came in yesterday to have a chat about what we're going to do.
Yeah.
One of the topics that I said, let's talk about, which I came up with, was, let's talk about swearing.
No, you said you never had a problem with swearing, which is normal.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we did the thing about, isn't it funny that you can, the thing about you can bleep a swear word by taking out the vowel. So we're going, so it's the vowel that's offensive, and we did a little sketch around that and then ended, you know, he wanted to completely obliterate the word in the end, didn't want to put the thing in that we said about the Radio Authority, which I think it was valid and wouldn't have got a complaint.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, he's the boss and what he says goes, doesn't it?
Sure.
So,
yeah, I was just gonna say,
But what you got to remember is what he also said is if you want to pay the 70 grand fine, then go ahead and do it, Steve.
There wouldn't be a 70 grand fine there, would there?
Well, you don't know what it'd be. But will you pay it? Will you pay for my mortgage? Will you pay for his mortgage? Will you feed his kids?
He wouldn't be fired.
What do you mean? Well, I tell you what, if it's not a fine, we'd lose the license, then we'd all be fired.
Right. Seriously think you'd lose the license for that sketch? Well, does he really seriously think you'd lose the license for it? It is not the worst thing we've ever put out or done or ever will do.
Yeah, but it's the fact that he said don't put it out and you're like, you know, throwing your toys out the pram. I want to say it. How old are you? But you still want to put swearing out.
It's a discussion about the Radio Authority and the way people are interested.
You believe it. Let's
don't
move
get
on.
Annoyed.
Yeah, but I'm annoyed because you've been at it since about 12:30.
No, well, I like to get in early to plan the show.
Yeah, but there's been no planning. So, to be honest, I'd turn off today anyone listening because there's nothing.
Carl, there's never anything.
There's sometimes some good things, but today, seriously, I'd leave it.
Something half decent that's been on this show.
Loads of little interesting topics.
I can't remember any.
Right, gazing toilets.
Yeah. Yeah, not particularly interesting. Fascinating to you, perhaps.
Right, well, I'd prefer to hear that than just a load of swear words. Well,
we wouldn't have heard any swear words, we'd have heard some bleeping.
Right then, so that's entertaining, isn't it? Load of bleeps.
It's just because you don't want to stand up to your boss or say anything. Don't get annoyed
with
us.
I'd stand up to all if I agree with what I'm arguing about, but I'm not falling out with him over some crappy thing you want to play out.
Don't say crappy.
Well,
don't
it doesn't matter, because I'm not here next week, I tell you that. I've canned this in.
Don't say crappy.
So if Andrew is listening,
don't
someone
say
else can be
crappy.
This week.
Play a record. We apologise for the word crap.
That's out of order, we should be.
Big Sir, The Thrills on XFM 104.9. Starting off another nice atmosphere again in the studio.
Don't blame me, it's not my fault.
No, I know.
Well, it's your fault mainly.
Yeah.
You are bad, you are quite bad.
But don't.
Nah, come on, you are.
Don't try and win him round just because he scared you.
I don't know who's that against. Is it me?
It's
I am.
You,
I don't
yeah.
know.
It's you.
Right, well, I'm not a coward.
No.
I'm not a coward.
Okay,
I'm just thinking of the listeners, Rick, and I just want them to be entertained.
Yeah. Luckily, that's not a big problem for us.
What, you mean we're effortlessly entertaining or there's no listeners?
Well, yeah, somewhere in between.
Yeah.
Carl, sure. What's happened to you this week, mate?
That's happened.
Come on.
Well, nothing's happened.
Come on. I came in and he had an hour lunch break. You know, he's sort of like, he never gets a break. I came in one day. It was out for an hour. I had a nice little chat with Andrew Phillips about, you know, where we were going with the show. And, you know.
Where are we going with it? You come up with anything?
Ah, dear.
So far we can run it into the grave.
Yeah, no. If we go off air, it certainly won't be through being cutting edge or controversial, because people are just turned off because it's too boring to listen to. Brack. He was out for an hour.
Having a lunch break for an hour. He's always saying he's too busy.
I know, yeah.
It is interesting. Actually, on the subject of that, I noticed Dan here has emailed in. He says, I was listening to last week's show, and I think Carl is taking his job for granted. I'd love to swap with him for a week. My qualifications are that I can press play on a CD player and stop.
Carl, what do you think of that?
And it can come in next week, seriously. Yeah.
It says here.
Don't get ratty, Carl.
I'm not being ratty. Dan, email me. You know my address. Email it. It'll be sorted out. You can be here next week.
Dan suggested we could call it Carl Idol, where people audition each week, or perhaps Bone Idol.
I like that. Bone Idol.
Brilliant.
Yeah. have we got a monkey news, Carl?
Don't know if I can be bothered.
Play a record. Play a record.
Beautiful. Billy Bragg from his Essential Billy Bragg compilation. Now, I know a lot of people are thinking, Billy Bragg, oh, I can't be bothered, politics. And I have to say, buy this CD, skip past every song that is, for instance, There Is Power in a Union.
Don't be duped by fascism.
Yeah, it's your right and duty to vote.
Yeah, right wing, wrong wing.
Exactly, ignore all that. But just listen to the love songs.
His love songs are beautiful. Yeah. It's fantastic. Tonight I celebrate my love for you with a pint of beer and a new tattoo. It's great.
Brilliant.
Yeah, look, lose the ones about, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Striking.
Yeah, exactly, because we know what we think of that. So, I heartily recommend that.
Carl, we're on happiness. Carl, yeah. I'm trying to explain to Carl that the aim to, you know, it's really to get on a 10.
Yeah.
For happiness.
Well, I like the fact that he started on a 9.
But I love the fact he's happy with 4.
Yeah.
I love that.
No, but what I mean is, right, I'm not looking for, like, happiness.
Right.
I'm
You're
all
not
right.
You're looking for happiness? What? What's that for?
What I mean is, right, I'm happy when I'm not fed up. So what I mean is, I'm happy.
Is this your new book, Psychology of the Mind? What is that? I'm happy when I'm not fed up. That's like an 8-year-old trying to explain happiness. Johnny, what is it when I'm happy when I'm not fed up, miss? Well done. Good boy. That's it. You're happy when you're not fed up. Talk like an adult.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying to you though.
I'm
happy most of the time. It's just that when things niggle me, I find that I realise when I'm annoyed more than when I'm happy.
But Carl, every time we talk to you, you are whinging about something. You've got something that annoys you.
But he's
you.
One of those people that if he whinges loud enough, he gets away with it. Like he's in here, I think he goes, oh, I'm really busy. I come in and he's doing nothing. He's chatting because he's having big, long chats with everyone about how someone's wound him up.
Yeah.
And they all come and they go, oh, Carl's fed up. Because he's got this show. You know what I mean? He's wormed his way.
No, hang on a minute. You came in moaning about the Post and that today.
Yeah.
Well, everyone's annoyed and frustrated by that. There's small businesses going out of business.
I'm not. You haven't heard me.
No, you're not, because who's sending you letters? No one. Mm. You've got no friends. No. You've said that yourself.
Yeah.
You've openly declared you don't want friends. They're too much hassle.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That is my joy. Friends is that is the point of life to me. It's I can't wait to see them. I squeeze their head. I welcome them in.
They annoy me.
I love it. Friends are annoying. It's even scared of like doing something with a friend or getting a gift because he goes after buying one back now.
Yeah.
It's sort of like life's a bit of a chore for Carl, isn't it?
Well, anyway, all right. Let's leave that aside. Obviously, you're never going to be entirely happy, although apparently you are already. On the brink of happiness.
All you have to say is your hair looked nice. That's all you have to say. Yeah, it looks good, yeah. And that's it, end of story.
What's the point in that? What is the point in that?
Because she doesn't really care what you think, but she doesn't want to hear that she looks like Dave Hill from Slade.
She's not having her hair cut just to please you, Carl. Despite what you might think.
Yeah.
He's taken aback by that.
Yeah. But I was with Joe Cornish last night, went to a little do at Jonathan's house, and Joe was there, and he walked in, and I was taken aback by how tall he is.
Sure.
Because I'd forgotten, and he's about 6'4", but he's unlikely to, you know what I mean by that? It's sort of like some people surprise you. And he was going, yeah, well, he said, I don't consider 6'4". Big. I said, well, it is pretty big. I said, but I know what you mean. I walk around with Steve Merchant.
Yeah.
And he went, how tall is Steve? And I was six foot seven.
Yep.
And Joe went, oh, that's nearly a disability, isn't it?
Do you know, he's absolutely right as far as I'm concerned. No, do you know, I genuinely, since school, I used to go to school with a little disabled fella. Lovely guy. No, I swear to God, lovely guy. And I remember he came in when we got in the sixth form and he basically got, I don't know what the ins and outs of it were, but as far as I could tell, he'd got a car for free. A specially converted car,
yeah.
You know, because he was disabled, and yeah. He was
same as Carl,
around.
Same as Carl. Me. I need this. I need that.
But it seemed to me that I was thinking, well, why can I not get something similar? Because there are some cars I can't fit in because I'm too tall. I genuinely cannot drive the smaller cars, the cheaper cars. I've got obliged to buy a more expensive, larger car because I can't fit in the toilet.
Yeah, that's like saying you've got to pay more for your shoes because there's more leather, which is true.
Which is absolutely true. It's a nightmare getting shoes.
But fat people have to pay more
for their... it's a nightmare getting chairs, comfy chairs that I can sit in the home. I sit in a chair for very long and my back's killing me. Now, how is that not a disability? But no, you don't see people like me whinging.
But I think tall people, I've read an article that taller people on average get higher wages through something, through, you know, an advantage, or just because they're taken more seriously than little dumpy fellas.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean?
But I don't think I genuinely don't think there are many benefits of being really tall. People seem to assume there are, but beyond the fact that I can reach things down from a high shelf.
I know.
I don't think there's any real perks.
I've seen you hit your head a few times.
That's a disability.
I know, I have seen you hit your head a few times, and I think, oh god, that must have hurt. Obviously I'll make sure okay and then laugh.
Of course.
But I know it must be annoying.
Thanks, mate.
No, but I mean, there's one pub in Soho that he has to go down backwards.
Yeah.
He has to lean there, he looks like a limbo dancer.
Yeah, they've almost got to lower me in on ropes.
I always find it amusing.
But like, for instance, on a plane, on an aeroplane, I can't get some of the seats, I can't fit in some of the seats. Not in any way,
not
the way
that I could.
Because some people, how is that not a disability?
There's some seats that people can't afford because they're poor. It's not a disability.
What's irrelevant? Don't go on a plane then, because you're poor.
But
if you can't afford to go on a plane, you can't afford to go on a plane. You should have studied hard at school.
But what annoys, what annoys me about that is,
this is a physical disability I was born with.
There's a weight allowance, so I might not be allowed loads of bags on, but there might be a big fat pig in the queue who's allowed the same chocolate allowance as me.
But that's because they've been eating like a bloater. I couldn't stop myself from growing this tall. It wasn't a conscious decision. I didn't think, I'll tell you what, I won't smoke when I'm a teenager. Maybe I'll shoot up. I'll eat healthy, I'll probably add an extra 2 feet. It just kept going.
You do eat too healthy, you eat way too many greens.
But that's not why I grew to this height, it's a genetic thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but if you'd have lived near, some sort of pylon or something and just, as I say, smoked from an early age, you wouldn't have been that tall.
Don't think when I was a gangly teenager having the piss taken out of me, I wasn't thinking I wish I'd been born near a pylon, or Chernobyl.
Could your mum or dad, could they have
claimed
you, like they did with little, didn't they do that with someone's feet?
Well, yeah, concubines.
Yeah, I didn't come out this tall, did I?
No, but no. How would they bandage him?
They'd have to bandage him round the feet and round the top of the head.
Yeah, I'd be walking around like a mummy.
Yeah, or a bonsai boy.
But people didn't really realise I was going to be this tall until I was 14 or 15. You know, you don't realise when you're an 8-year-old.
How tall were you when you were about like a gangly, okay, so a typical gangly teenager, 15. How tall were you at 15?
I don't know, 6'5" maybe?
And I bet you were like a beanpole, weren't you?
Of course.
Yeah. And what sort of glasses did you have?
Cool.
Now, what did you have?
I don't know, a monocle. No, I can't remember.
Did you wear a bow tie once?
I wore a bow tie. I thought I was trying to preempt the styles that might be coming around. I mean, I think I've been watching a lot of George Formby films. And I thought it can only be a matter of time before the bow tie comes in. I thought it might be quite kind of urbane and debonair.
Yeah.
So what
was Robin Day at the height of his fame? I think he might around this time, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to go for that dandy look. I thought that's what the girls
dandy,
would go for.
I know,
the
yeah.
dandy.
Oh dear. So I just want to see you with a pipe and trilby.
Yeah.
I just think you'd look great walking along the street.
Yeah. Oh, but genuinely, I really, it does frustrate me that I don't get any allowances
for being
very
tall. It doesn't count as a disability.
Well, it does count.
No, it doesn't. It's not a disability being 6'7".
But how can you explain, for instance, you know, travelling on a bus or a coach? There's some seats I can't sit in.
The only disadvantage is, people look, I've seen people stare at you, but they stare at me because I've been on the telly. What's that, a disability? Are that people being recognised?
Yes, but you could avoid that by not being on the telly. It's your choice. This is my point. It's your choice.
Yeah.
It's the same as the big fat people. It's their choice.
It's a different sort of stare, isn't it? I've been there.
Yeah.
When, you know, the sort of stare that you get and the sort of stare.
Well, obviously I'm going to, sorry, Steve, but I'm going to, you know, follow up this inquiry. What do you mean, Carl?
No, so I'm just saying it's more of a stare of fear than, like with you, they go, oh, it's him.
Yeah, go on.
Whereas with you, it's more like, jeez.
do you know what frustrates me? I thought he did deserve having a Monday off. I've changed my tune.
Yeah.
I was sometimes I'm in, you don't realise this, listeners, but sometimes I'm an intermediary. I do step in when he's winding him up because Carl gets to the point where he's going to explode.
Yeah, and it's crazy. Okay, Jeff. That
and I step in, and this is the kind of response I get from Carl. This is the kind of back chat I get.
Well, I tell you, he's a little user.
I'll tell you what, because he's too scared of winding you up because he knows that you'll just walk out of here and he won't get his Monday off.
Absolutely. Play a record, you little oik.
Weasel. You're a weasel.
Lou Reed. With a little help from David Bowie there in the background. Satellite of Love on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Stephen Merchant and Carl Pilkington. Now, Steve, you know how Carl won't do anything outside his jurisdiction. He moans about stuff. He's got one job. We're doing about five things in the week. We just turn up and he's always available. He moans about it. He goes, oh, lucky you caught me, right? He's chatting. He's one of those people that, whinges enough and people think he's overworked. So he got Mondays off, right? He's just a whinger. Yeah.
I haven't got Mondays off though, have I?
Yeah, well, anyway, 2 hours on a Saturday. This is what the phone message he left me Wednesday on my mobile, but I just is chatting about certain things that are going on at the moment. What he does need to know. Old Duncan, who he mentions, is my agent. And, you know, you understand a few other things. But this is the sort of message I get from Carl, right? Windsor.
Old messages.
Right. 12:10. Wednesday. Just getting loads of people calling me all the time about yesterday, DVDs, signing for BBC London. I don't work there, but I've been dragged into that. I've got a woman on leaving a message from Talk PR going on about, do you want to go and see Pop Idol again? Right? They're just saying you and some listeners can go. So I'm sure you'll love that. I've got Jim Benner wanting you to introduce the tin buckets at the Astoria. So can you just, like, let Duncan know that I'm doing his job whilst he's sat on his arse with his thumb firmly up his arse? Can you let him know that I'm running around like a c**t here sorting shit out for you? All right, see you later.
Message left.
So, do you know what I mean?
I know, but that's the kind of phone message he's leaving. Do you remember who he was before
Even annoyed that he gets a phone call. I remember he got a phone call for you to do a voiceover and didn't pass it on. You missed a voiceover. That was thousands of pounds.
No, I did pass it on, though. I told you.
You said someone had phoned.
Yeah.
That's not good enough.
But who's that?
Well, she didn't say, and I didn't ask. But
of course she said.
She didn't say.
Rubbish.
So you didn't take the number down? Just when she went, oh, can you tell Steve to call me? And you went, yeah.
Yeah, well, I just thought you'd know her already. I should have known. It was a woman, so I should have known.
He's having a go, you see?
Unbelievable. I don't know how it's come back on me. You're the one who was picking on it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm saying. I'm defending. Why is he having a go at you?
He never picks on Ricky because he knows you are his bread and butter. Seriously, do you know what I mean? The only reason he's got Mondays off is because you're still doing this show.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why he's scared of you. That's why he's like, he has a go at you on the phone, but he always picks on me because he knows, you know, I'm a pushover. I'm a nice guy. He's scared of you. I can't believe it. I don't know how it works.
Is that true?
Steve, I'm always sorting you out. I look after you.
I'm not saying you don't, but I am going to do it. What do you mean you're sorting out tickets and lager? What's this?
Right, whenever you want tickets.
Yeah, yeah,
sorting out. I don't want to use this as like moaning time and that because I don't like to moan. I'm busy and that, right? I've sorted you out tickets for gigs.
Yeah.
Right?
What somebody doesn't even turn up to.
Yeah. Yeah, we won't even go on about that. Yeah. Right? Lager.
He was sorting out The Cure. He complained it was boring.
Yeah. It was that big drum of lager that you had, and you said, oh, put that in your room for me because I don't want to carry it home. Right?
Lazy.
So I said, all right, then I'll put it in my room. It goes missing, it gets nicked. Then you have a go at me because it got nicked.
Yeah.
I get you another one. You make me carry it around town for you for half an hour. Then you say, oh, I can't be bothered taking it home. Can you take it back to work for me?
Yeah. But interestingly, this is like a year ago, so it's still pressing on you.
Oh, hang on, and I forgot the one when we had an argument over 50p.
You didn't want to give me 50p back that you owed me.
That was the same day you'd given him about 40 quid worth of lager.
But see, this is my point. This was my point at the time. It's not the 50p in terms of money is not what's important. The fact that you think you don't have to give me money back because it's only 50p, that was the point at stake. It's me who makes a decision. Oh, don't worry about the 50p. Not you. It's only 50p. I'm not going to give it to you. Do you know what I mean? There's got to be rules. Otherwise, it's chaos, Carl. Come on, mate. All right?
I don't want to fall out about
it. No, it's not all right. Should we kiss and make up? Do you want that?
It's all right.
Yeah. Well, should we play a little record and come back to this? Because
I can't believe it started with you slagging him off, Rick, and I've ended up as the monster.
I know.
Bit of R.E.M.
Yeah.
I was walking away from the show last week. I was walking towards Berry Street. I like to look at the records and the record shops. And I was on my mobile phone, and I was chatting away to someone, and what can only be described as a prostitute.
Go on.
Stood on the street corner.
Was she a woman that gives you sex for money?
Yes.
That is a prostitute.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Go on.
And as I was walking by, she said, do you want to buy sex?
What a place.
Now,
you sure it wasn't a market trader giving six plums away?
No, it was definitely.
Sex for a quid?
No, it was definitely a prostitute.
Yeah.
And what annoyed me about it, what I wanted to pick her up on something, was the fact that I was on my mobile phone. It's like, can you imagine?
She was rude.
Who would I? What am I going to hang up? Sorry, Mum. Can I call you back?
You know,
you say you want me to meet more women,
and you know you sent me that 30 quid
exactly
for my birthday.
Yeah. Sorry, Mr. Johnson. I'm really excited about the job. Can I call you back? I'm just going to negotiate with a whore. And it was just you could tell that she was clearly probably desperate for crack or a latest fix of smack. So she was literally the normal etiquette of prostitution, you know, that they hang around, they show some thigh. I've seen this in
films.
Will
you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Take you out for a meal, that sort of thing. That had sort of gone out of the window, and she was just there, desperate, running around.
Did
the
she go out of a window?
Like,
because that's another thing they sometimes do, specialist ones.
But I was shocked because I've never been propositioned before like that.
Really?
In London.
It's weird, isn't it? Carl, thoughts?
I think you'd be sort of approached a lot because they tend to sort of go for people who look like they haven't got much chance.
Sure.
And I'm not being mean.
I'll let you go back to it. In what way aren't you being mean? By saying that
Steve knows is a little bit odd looking.
I don't think. Well,
no, he does. Do you know?
No, but it's not whether what he thinks of his looks, it's what he thinks of you talking about his looks.
But it's like how you were talking before about, you know, your eyes are bad. It's nature's little way of saying, look, nothing to see here, right?
I don't get that!
I don't know what you mean.
When you look in the mirror and that, they've gone, look, he hasn't got the looks, let's make his eyes bad, right?
Yeah.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, see, they're balancing it out, right?
Yeah.
And it's funny, right? Now we're on the topic.
Sorry, right? Johnny Depp.
Now listen, but...
My chest is going to burst at this moment.
Whenever we go into this conversation, I always think to myself, Carl, do you know what you look like?
I'm going to burst.
You know, seriously, can I be honest with you? You look like, you know, if you've got like a balloon, a hot air balloon, right? Just a little balloon, like a party balloon. Right. If you drew a little face on it, right, and inflated it about halfway, that's what you look like.
Right.
No, play a record. I don't want to get into this. It's too intense.
Now you've got onto this, let's just nip it in the bud now. I'll tell you something that I wasn't going to tell you because I think...
I don't want to hear it.
Right, it was on the tube, right? Well, I wasn't. Someone told me they were on the tube, right? And the tube pulled into a station, right? And one of the women saw the poster that's out at the moment with you and Rick on it, right?
Yeah.
So this woman apparently goes, oh, look, there's it's Ricky. Ricky's on the radio, right? And the other woman goes, oh, yeah, don't you listen to it? So she goes, oh, I didn't know it was on the radio. And she goes, oh.
I'm sorry, Steve.
Look,
I'm sorry,
look.
Because he didn't like, sound this bad.
She said, oh, look at that. Look at that person he's with. So she goes, yeah. She said, that's Steve. She said, I was sort of aware that he looked odd because Carl mentions it on the radio.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as much of a blow to me, but I can see how it was a bit of a shock to you.
Yeah.
So that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that isn't me sort of telling this woman to say anything. That was all happened without anybody else sort of bringing it on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
was it? Sorry, you seem to be relishing this. Was it because of the little balloon story that made you?
I honestly, Steve, I wouldn't have told you, but if you're going to start, you know, having a pop.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I can't just sit here and take sure. it and that.
No.
I mean, all mates.
Yeah, it's just.
Well, I mean, I was mistaken for Johnny Vegas. Steve's got a story about that if you want to have a go at me.
Well, you'd know someone just thought you were fat with a beard, which is true.
Well, don't have a go at me because he said you'd look...
Well, you started it.
No, I didn't. Yeah, I didn't.
You were milking it. You were egging him on.
I was laughing.
You were egging him on.
I sort of was.
Yeah.
But let's not, you know...
Oh, it's a good job you've got lots of good mates like Jonathan Ross who you can go and hang out with. Don't need other friends, people who've helped you in your career.
He's a good-looking bloke, isn't he, Jonathan Ross?
He's a good-looking fella.
Play a record. Radiohead, Fake Plastic Trees on XFM 104.9.
Mm-hmm.
Someone just emailed in and said, just want to know what you think of that cover of Wonderwall.
Mm. We told you. We said it was great.
Yeah.
Listen.
But they must have been listening to hear...
the song.
Yeah.
Extraordinary.
Although maybe they just turn off...
when we start talking.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
That would make sense. Mm. I mean, it makes sense in a sort of preserving of sanity type way as well.
Objectively, Rick, if you were listening at home, if you didn't know us and you were listening to the show, would you listen to it? Would you bother? I know that's a hard thing to get your head round.
It's difficult to say, isn't it? I've no idea. I've no idea what people coming to this for the first time think.
Mm. I mean, you know, I love you like a brother, but I get sick of you.
Yeah. I mean, I get sick of me.
Yeah.
Sometimes I go home and
it's weird you should say that, because someone's emailed in.
Yeah.
A recent survey's been done by Cheltenham and Gloucester. The most desirable neighbour in Britain. Number one.
Shane Ritchie.
Johnny Wilkinson.
All right.
It doesn't actually give me the full rundown, but David Beckham was in the list.
Yeah.
Shane Ritchie was indeed in the list.
Yeah, he's flying at the moment.
As was Ricky Gervais.
Really?
Well, that's what it says. It doesn't tell me where you came, though. And there was actually a neighbour from hell, and you weren't in that list.
Well, I'm a good neighbour.
Oh, come on.
I am. I'm quiet. I don't keep myself. I never...
Do you know what I'm thinking of?
What?
If it was best friend.
Yeah.
Now, that would be a nightmare.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Desirable friend.
I'm a good neighbour. I'm quiet, you know, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I imagine being stuck in a room with me writing all the time, with me squeaking like a chimp.
Unbelievable.
Although I don't physically abuse you. I save that to my bald mates, like Carl and Rob and that. I just like to squeeze their head. I don't squeeze your head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it's because you command a little bit more respect.
Ah, thanks very much.
Do you know what I mean? You're not that sort of... You're not an idiot.
Sure.
All right, Carl, got anything to say? Has anyone seen his picture in Heat this week? It looks fantastic, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what Steve said when he saw that, Carl?
On.
He said, it has captured Carl.
Mm.
What do you mean?
Well, you just look utterly gormless. In the pictures. It's captured brilliantly. You know how like a good photographer can do that? You can capture the essence of someone. That's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Well, actually, I'm the photographer.
Because
it was a screen grab from the behind-the-scenes footage.
Well done.
So I got that gimpness. I captured the essential gimposity.
Exactly.
The, yeah. Carl.
Yeah.
All right?
Captured it.
Yeah, well, I did a little article for Time Out, and I think Boyd from Heat has sent over that screen grab to them, so he might be in Time Out. I'm going to try and get him in every publication.
Yeah.
For 1 year. It's like
you've managed it in the last 2 weeks.
Exactly, yeah. It's like a Dave Gorman project.
Hmm.
Are you Carl Pilkington?
Yes.
Let's do that, shall we? If anyone's got a publication, it doesn't matter how little, just take it from Heat. It's mine, so you're welcome to it. Just try and just put his picture in anything. Next to round things is best,
mm-hmm.
isn't it? That'd be good. You all right, Carl, with that?
Yeah.
All right, then, good. What have you got for us, Carl?
I'll tell you, you're going to go along later to the Live 8 gig and you're probably going to see some bands that are going to make an effort to entertain you, but if you want entertainment, Rick, you know it.
Go on.
There's only one person to book.
Go on.
Me. If you you're perhaps going to do, because I mean, obviously a top DJ on the radio, but where I really come into my own is DJing in any kind of club environment.
Well, you told me you were DJing, I didn't go to it, DJing at a party, and you said the place was rocking.
The place was roaring.
And I loved it. Carl just said he was there and they weren't.
Well, that's nonsense, Carl, because you know very well that when I'd put on a tune, they'd cheer.
Yeah, but it was late on in the night, they would have done that, whatever you put on.
That's nonsense.
No, they were happy and everything. I'm not saying they were having a good time. It was your party. It was all right, but they weren't going mental like you're sort of making up.
They were definitely going mental. Nah, when I put on the Proclaimers, they could not believe their luck. they would have walked 1,000 miles.
Was it good though? Were they really, what were they doing? Were they dancing, were they?
It's dancing and that, but they weren't sort of cheering, going, you know, more and all that at the end.
What's all right?
Oh,
Take on Me came on, the big cheer went up.
Oh, I don't know who to believe.
I've been there, done it, Steve. I've been the DJ as well.
It might be jealousy.
I think it's professional jealousy there.
I
think it's because my fortunes are on the up and these are on the down. You know, we all know famously that he had
Pilkey's making music,
his DJ outfit.
Didn't happen.
I did enough. I just wanted to do enough to pay for the equipment. And I did. And that was that. But I don't like crowds, do I?
But you're safe, aren't you? You're behind the little thing with the flashing lights.
There's still a lot of people and that. Forced fun. Don't like that.
Forced fun.
It's not forced fun. They haven't got to dance if they don't want to dance.
Yeah. Don't like it.